This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, September 27th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, reaction to the Illinois Supreme Court decision to revive a parental notification law in abortion cases. We'll also get a forecast for the rest of the week from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, a look at today's news. Two new medical clinics will come to Champaign and Urbana, both built by Carle Clinic Association. Those new clinics will go up in southeast Urbana on Windsor Road and in southwest Champaign on Curtis Road. They'll replace existing clinics on those sides of town. But Carle Clinic CEO Bruce Wellman says the new buildings will offer expanded services, as well as the primary care office is now on Carle's main Urbana campus. The plan also calls for adding 17 new physicians over the next 5 years. That expansion comes as Christie Clinic and others are expanding services too, but Wellman says it's still needed.
You know, we've analyzed the situation, and there is a risk associated with that. But again, standing the way we are, we would not, I think we'd have trouble serving our existing population increasingly over the next several years.
The $40 million project is expected to start next spring with the new clinics open in 2008. The space saved at Carle's main campus will be used to expand obstetric services and move clinic services out of the current North Clinic on University Avenue. Earlier this month, Carle announced a new clinic in Danville. A healthcare research group, meanwhile, says there are positives coming out of efforts to address concerns in healthcare like cost and the quality of care. Fred Bayon of the Washington, D.C.-based advisory board company addressed a room of local physicians and business leaders yesterday. A morning summit hosted by Carle Foundation Hospital was intended to start a dialogue between healthcare providers and see what reforms are needed on a local and national level. Bayon says more healthcare providers are doing a better job of analyzing themselves.
Are we providing that care from the hospital's perspective, from the physician's perspective? Are we presenting the best quality care for those individuals? And I think the fact that payers are looking at this, hospitals are looking at this, I think it bodes well for patients, consumers, for the population at large.
But Bayon also says physicians and hospitals need to communicate better to improve cost performance and quality performance. Carle Foundation CEO James Leonard says the greatest concerns locally include a lack of doctors, a number of uninsured and underinsured patients, and communications between healthcare providers that are limited due to privacy laws. While state government increased higher education funding earlier this year, it might want some of it back eventually. Sean Crawford has more.
The Blagojevich administration has again asked public colleges and universities to hold off on spending 2% of discretionary money, dollars that often go to specific campus programs, departments, and even certain jobs. Board of Higher Education Director Judy Irwin says it won't impact operations spending or student aid.
So it only applies to where there is more discretion with funds and with the administration. And I think we agree that we have to be more prudent with limited state dollars.
Irwin says the call to reserve the 2% went out earlier this year than in the past. That could make it easier to absorb. She says there's always a chance that if the state's financial condition improves, state government won't take the money back. I'm Sean Crawford.
Property tax bills in the city of Champaign would go up a little less next year under a preliminary action taken last night in the city council. AM 580's Jim Meadows has that story.
The Champaign City Council voted 6-3 in their study session to pass an estimated tax levy that would lower the city property tax rate nearly 2 cents to around $1.29 per $100 assessed valuation. It would be the first cut in the tax rate in 4 years. Most property owners would still pay more in taxes due to increased valuations, but the tax rate cut would limit the average increase to no more than the rate of inflation. Mayor Jerry Schweihart said the city was in a stronger financial position this year, and it was time to give taxpayers a little relief.
Every year we keep going up and up and up, even though we tie it in to say, you know, we're only charging you $1.31 per hundred, but you know, with the assessed value going up, you're always paying more. Well, this maybe reverse that a little bit.
City officials say the tax cut should shave about $8 off the average Champaign property owner's tax bill next year. The cut is expected to cost the city's general fund about $300,000. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The preservation of old films and recordings at the University of Illinois will start with the development of software to help librarians determine what needs to be done. Conservation librarian Jennifer Hain-Tepper says they'll use $250,000 federal grant from the Institute of Museum and Library Services to develop the self-assessment program for librarians and archivists. Tepper says whether it's new DVDs or old 78 records, no recording lasts forever. She says transferring recordings to new formats before it's too late is an increasing concern for librarians.
The materials at this point are rotting on the shelves, and many of us don't know what to do yet because people haven't developed standards for this. So we're trying to push that along.
Tepper says it'll take 3 years to develop and test the self-assessment software. And the first collections to benefit will be those at the University of Illinois campus, including the archives of the Spurlock Museum, the Department of Dance, and WILL. But Tepper says the ultimate goal is to make the software available for free on the Internet, so archivists nationwide will have a tool to size up their audiovisual collections. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. In Illinois, young women are able to get abortions without their parents' consent or knowledge. But in a surprise move last week, the Illinois Supreme Court revived a parental notification law that's gone unenforced for 11 years. Illinois abortion clinics have been an option for young women from surrounding states with stricter regulations, such as Missouri. But as Illinois Public Radio's Maria Hickey reports, after years of worrying what other states were doing, those clinics are now focusing on what's happening in their own backyards.
Hope Clinic Assembly, can I help you?
When calls come into the Hope Clinic for Women in Granite City, Illinois, employees let women know they'll need to bring an ID.
We basically check IDs to make sure that the patient is not a minor, and if they are a minor, what state that they live in and stuff.
That's because Missouri's legislators passed a law last year allowing parents to sue anyone who helps their minor daughter get an abortion without their consent. Hope Clinic was often mentioned as the law's main target because it's just across the river from St. Louis. The clinic's officials have paid close attention as that law makes its way through Missouri's court system. But then last week, something closer to home grabbed their attention. The Illinois Supreme Court drafted rules for a long-dormant parental notification law. Hope Clinic Executive Director Sally Burgess.
It truly came out of nowhere. Our understanding was that it would take the General Assembly to bring parental notification to the front again.
The 1995 law requires doctors to notify the parents of girls under 18 at least 48 hours before an abortion. It never went into effect because, at the time, the Illinois Supreme Court refused to write rules providing guidelines for a judicial bypass. That's a waiver system for girls who felt they would be in jeopardy if they told their parents. But last week, after 11 years, the Illinois Supreme Court announced it was taking up the matter and within days issued the rules. Now a federal injunction filed back in 1995 is the last hurdle keeping the law from being enforced. The Illinois Federation for Right to Life was one group that pushed the state's high court to revisit the law. Lobbyist Dawn Bankey says they worked for more than a year to get justices to bring it up.
So while it appears that it just suddenly happened, that is not true, at least not from our perspective, because we have been discussing doing this and approaching people for quite a while.
Bankey says one reason they pushed for the law is because women from other states were coming to Illinois for abortions. She says parental notification helps protect young women dealing with a crisis.
It fosters a relationship with a supportive adult. It requires that they provide notice that they are, you know, intending to have an abortion. And this is important for many reasons.
Bankey says that gives parents a chance to lend emotional support and to make sure that their daughter's medical background is considered. For those in troubled homes, she says the waiver process works well. But the ACLU of Illinois' Lori Chaitin has a different take. She's the head of the group's Reproductive Rights Project and says the notification law puts vulnerable girls more at risk.
For the state to say you have to tell your parents and that your only alternative is to go through this very cumbersome, burdensome court process, what that does in other states is it leads them to back alley illegal abortions, and that does not promote health and safety.
The ACLU and other groups say they'll fight the law if a federal injunction is lifted. It's now up to the Illinois Attorney General's office to approach the federal judge to do just that. A spokeswoman for Attorney General Lisa Madigan's office says they're reviewing the rules and the law. In the meantime, the Hope Clinic will continue to provide abortions to Illinois teenagers, with or without their parents' involvement. I'm Maria Hickey.
Another round of rain is dripping into Illinois and Indiana. Most of us will see it by tomorrow, at least tonight. Our forecast from Mike Sola for today: in the north, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and a few isolated thunderstorms. Elsewhere in the two states, partly sunny, and scattered showers and thunderstorms will arrive mainly this afternoon. The highs ranging from 60 in northwest Illinois to near 80 degrees in the far south. We'll see clouds and scattered showers overnight tonight, with lows from around 40 in northwestern Illinois to 57 in southern Indiana. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy and turning cooler, with scattered showers diminishing from west to east through the day. The highs tomorrow from only 52 degrees in northern Illinois to 63 in the south. Looking ahead to Friday, mostly cloudy in the north, mostly sunny in the far south, and Saturday cloudy with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms returning, most of them in northern sections and in central Illinois. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, September 27th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.